Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Robotic entities. Now, I think there's something here that reminds me of Philip Kinsella, British UFO experiencer. And he was on a show just a few weeks ago. He had a book that came out, published by the Flying Disc Press from Philip Mantle. And he talked about a gray creature that he felt, I guess, had no emotions, no kind of like it could have been a robot. That's my impression. Did you think so, Randall?
Yeah, that's kind of, that was a really good show, by the way, with Philip Kinsella. Really good interview. Certainly some interesting perspectives on his experiences that we got talking about, where the possibility that the grays may be more like some kind of an avatar than actual biological entities. And William, this particular description that you describe as well, it doesn't sound like these are real entities. I mean, you have appendages that are not connected, sort of translucent or transparent. This kind of brings up the idea of active camouflage again, too, because we've heard other people say that they've seen this situation where it's almost like the Predator type of alien in the Predator series, you know, with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where they can become invisible. So either we've got some kind of technology going on where there's a being that is inside some kind of an active camouflage situation or is very chameleon-like and can actually make itself translucent or transparent in areas and is actually connected, or the appendages aren't really connected and it's some kind of a projection of some kind. You know what I mean?
Well, that's correct. I mean, he said that the entity, or whatever it was, appeared, it was transparent, then it would kind of materialize and then dematerialize. He also said that the craft moved upward and the entity allegedly moved, disappeared, and then it came back down again. He did mention that to me. He has called me many times since he made the original report, but it's projecting lights, somewhat transparent. You know, it's like it's maybe something from another dimension, or, you know, a portal or a parallel universe, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, whether it's an actual physical creature, I wouldn't expect a photograph maybe to turn out real clearly of something like that. You know, if it's changing form and, you know, it's not really refracting photons real well, which you got to have. I mean, that's what pictures are. Yeah, I mean, and the appendages, you know, it's levitating, it's not on the ground, appendages not joined, you know, it's almost like it's, you know, it's a paranormal type of presentation, or
it's almost cartoon-like, like, you know, it's like the Michelin Tire Man or something, you know, like, or whatever.
Exactly.
And we've heard of similar cases like that in the past as well, where they... So, you know, this isn't anything particularly new. And this witness also says that prior to this experience, he really hadn't given alien visitation much thought.
Well, that's correct. And the witness is a Christian. And, you know, a lot of Christians aren't, you know, are more, a little more skeptical of these type of things. But he's definitely a strong believer. Matter of fact, I believe he's a minister, or at least I don't think that's his primary occupation, but so, you know, yeah, some of the people in his church are skeptical about it, but he's pitched it to a lot of UFO investigators besides myself, including DeLong, the, you know, the gentleman that's producing these UFO documentaries with Luis Elizondo, and DeLong is quite interested in the material that he's presented. So again, you know, I do not think it's a formal abduction type thing. I don't think there's a time loss. The interesting thing about it is he snapped those photos all in about 10% of the time of when he was out there. That's what's interesting.
Well, yeah, that's
bang, bang, bang.
Exactly. See, this is what gets me. Here you've got a person out there with a cell phone camera who is conscious, looking at the object off in the distance and taking pictures. And the object that then approaches him gets very large in size, where he said it almost covered the whole sky above him, which means that it was either really huge or really close or some combination of both. And yet he's holding his cell phone and was taking pictures and never took a picture of it being close or nearby. Yeah. Or maybe he did, and he's saying, oh, well, we're not going to let you see those pictures. And so when that starts to happen, I start to think the whole fabrication thing just starts to come into my brain. I just go, okay, we need a lot more verification here. We need to see these photos. We need to verify that this guy is who he says he is. And, you know, it needs more investigation. And I imagine you're going to be following up on that.
Yeah, I will be. I mean, he does have photographs that allegedly show the being and the closer up of the craft. He does also say that a lot of photos didn't come out. He was so excited he had his hand over the lens on the camera, and some of them didn't turn out. Which is to be expected if you're that excited about something. You may not be totally coherent in your actions. I mean, yeah, we do need to see the photos, but I will say, and he told me specifically to say this, please tell them I will take a lie detector test. I mean, he's very, very convinced, and I do believe that he said he saw what he saw. Whether we can ever prove it or not, I don't know. I do not think it was fabricated. Number one, the witness, and I'm not criticizing him, he had difficulty even getting the photos to me, you know, from the cell phone. And a hoaxer is going to have a lot of technical abilities, you know, doing that. And he did send me photos originally, and I saw that they were edited with Microsoft Photo Editor, and I confronted him about that. Oh, yeah, he said we zoomed in on him and everything, and he sent me the original ones that weren't fabricated. And his best friend, one of his best friends, is a retired prosecuting attorney, lawyer, and another good friend is in law enforcement, homicide detective, allegedly. That's what he said. And they both are, you know, quite interested in what he saw. But again, we've not seen the final photos, and he is hanging on to those. And I don't know when or if he says he's going to release him, but that's the proof is in the pudding. But again, all the details, at least most of the details of everything that I've got from him, I've been able to technically verify. GPS, you know, the metadata trail of the photos. And I'm not convinced that the radar is going to show anything. And the reason is the radar data is not filtered. It's close to the radar sites, and there's birds, there's angels, there's ground traffic. So can I find a UFO in there? I mean, maybe I will. You know, it's kind of a needle in the haystack. That's why a lot of UFOs are on radar, but air traffic controllers aren't going to look for them when they see, you know, 100 echoes in a 100-mile square area. They're not going to find them. I mean, case in point, that gyrocopter that landed on the Capitol City lawn, that thing went through 12 different radars and no one saw it. Well, you can see why. So whether I can filter out a UFO in that data, I don't know. It's going to take some work. So, again, more to be revealed. My own opinion is I think this is the real deal. But the proof is in the pudding. We'll have to wait and see.
What might be interesting to do here, I think you've got enough information. I'm looking at on your site, UFOs Northwest, for our listeners, where you can go and check out William's catalog of sightings and recent events in and around the area where you are. Now, I'm looking at the photo enlargement, and the enlargement looks like it's an object way in the background, even with what looks like a cloud passing in front of it a little bit, like a line on it. And to me, I mean, it looks like it could be a picture of the moon.
We've got a break now. We've got more to come with William, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
I'm Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder and director of Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and TrumpsArmy.us. Are you willing to stand with President Trump and the U.S. Armed Forces he commands to help defend the office of the President, the streets of America, and the U.S. Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Then go to TrumpsArmy.us and allow me to reward you for your patriotism as only I can. TrumpsArmy.us. We are Trump's citizen patriots. TrumpsArmy.us.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we have William Puckett joining us after working at least on stuff that was far more important than a little radio show, a big radio show, but you never know. By the way, we've got a 15th anniversary episode coming at the end of February for the February 28th episode. So we're planning on big things then. Anyway, Randall, you were mentioning something about the moon.
Yeah, right. You know how when you take a picture of the moon, when you're just looking at it, it looks much bigger than you think it is. But when you take a picture, it's just, it looks way smaller. And, you know, hypothetically, we've got a time and a location and everything. You could probably chart out to see if there was any kind of an astronomical phenomena, including the moon, in that location on that day, if you really wanted to. You know, that might be one thing to do. Just a suggestion there, William.
Well, that's a good point. Quite honestly, I didn't ever have not done that, but I'm pretty sure that it's not the moon. The possibility is, and I talked with a witness about this, there is that cloud deck there.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult. And the witness has gone out there on numerous occasions, taken photos, and not been able to replicate this. But how are you going to replicate a 14,000-foot cloud deck right at a certain angle? Very difficult to do. And some of the debunkers have pointed that out, that the striations that you mentioned on the object could be reflections of the cloud. But the catch-22 on all this is a witness saw the object. That's the thing.
Exactly. And, like he says, it kept getting closer and got really big, and he got these amazing pictures. Okay, so let's, again, then where are they? Of course, if we did manage to get our astronomy program out or just even go online and you get that information for where he was standing and the direction he's looking, that looks like it's either a sunrise or a sunset. I can't tell because I don't know the exact
details. Sunrise.
Okay, so that would be off in the east on that particular day, right at sunrise. That should be pretty easy to see if it was there. That's one thing that we could do. But you're right. Just looking at these images alone, they don't really mean anything. You really need to look at them in the context of what the witness says they experienced as well.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a catch-22. Had I got a series of photos like this, of someone that was taking photos of a sunrise, and I looked at them, I'd say, yeah, probably a lens flare. Another thing, too, and I haven't looked at this, I will investigate that. I get more suggestions from people all the time. I didn't look at much astronomical data other than the sun angle.
I don't think it's a lens flare. I'm not getting lens, the impression. I mean, I'm not a photographic expert, but I'm not getting the impression that this is a lens flare because of that line in front of the object that looks like it could be behind the clouds in the distance to some degree, you know? So, and whatever it is, it's quite large for sure. I mean, sure. If it's that far away and it's that big, if it did get up close, it would be very large.
Well, that's what he said it did. I mean, he essentially said it was covering a good portion of the sky. And here's a 52-year-old man, and that's how old he is, he told me, never seen anything like this in his life, and saw the object from his apartment, putting his, closing blinds, and seeing a robotic-type being. I mean, you know, I would be crazy, too, and I'm a believer in UFOs, you know?
It does sound pretty far out.
I'm not saying he's crazy, but, I mean, I would be certainly, I may not be dotting my I's and crossing my T's, you know. Another thing, too, and I will investigate this, I'm pretty sure it's not the case, the planet Venus can show up on photos at sunrise. Venus is the only planet that can be visible in the daytime. But I have no reason at all to believe that this is Venus or the moon. But I will investigate that astronomical phenomena. But I did look at it, and I looked at my naval program, astronomical program. I was mostly just looking at the angle of the sun, trying to determine the size of the object, coming up with some angles and everything. And I determined that the distance of the object could potentially be at 20 miles away when it was first photographed, based on the cloud deck and the angle of the clouds, the height of the clouds, doing some trigonometry. But again, that assumes that the object was right at the cloud length. It would be at most probably 20 miles away based on trigonometry. Again, those are quick and dirty estimates.
Sure. And then what we get is with the greenish tinge, atmospheric phenomena can cause that. Now, being a meteorologist, this is something I was kind of wanting to ask you as well, because it's something that I've noticed here in the last few days with the kind of cloud cover that we've had in combination with the sun. So we get these Chinooks that are arches of clouds, and as the sun comes down through them into the patch of air that is clear, you can actually see, especially if you got a pair of sunglasses on, colors in the clouds, reds and blues and greens. Kind of, it's not quite like a rainbow, but it turns them these sort of almost more like a rainbow trout kind of effect, if you know what I mean. Like, what is that called?
You know, there's sun dogs and other things where you get clouds refracting, photons, and you get atmospheric pollution that can cause colors in the atmosphere. Up your way there in Canada at this time of year, you get, a lot of ice crystals that can cause refraction. A number of meteorological phenomena. I got a case that maybe later on in the show we can discuss about that I think is kind of interesting from South Africa on that very thing. I mean, yeah, there's some other possibilities here. The only thing about this case that is going to be very difficult to really investigate is the word clouds. If it was a totally clear morning, you could say, well, and you couldn't replicate this if you saw this very same thing. It would give it a little more strength forensically. But yet I can't throw the baby out with the bathwater just because there was a 14,000-foot cloud deck. And the sun is shining through that 14,000-foot cloud deck.
Yeah, it's a pretty good picture. Actually, it's a really interesting case, so I'd be looking forward to hearing some more about that, especially if this guy, can come up with, cough up some pictures of this thing much closer.
Yeah, he probably will do that. I mean, he wanted to be compensated, and I don't know. I mean, he's not working, and right now I believe he has a pretty good earning power, but I believe with the, with the COVID, like many people, he's kind of struggling, and I empathize with him. But again, he has released a lot of information already, has not demanded any compensation for it, and I think his own curiosity, he's quite open to it. And again, for your listeners, I urge people to put in comments on this. It's always good to have more comments about what people would think about this particular case.
We've got a lot more with William and Jean and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan DeRocky.
President-elect Joe Biden introduced a new cabinet-level position Saturday, elevating the position of White House Science Advisor. Biden tapped Eric Lander, best known for working on mapping the human genome, for the post. Lander says Biden's emphasis on science is a challenge to solve some of the nation's biggest problems.
The president-elect knows that science and technology will be crucial in meeting this moment. And he has tasked us in this letter I don't mean just his scientific advisors. I mean the whole scientific community and the American public, with answering important questions about how science and technology can best be used to advance our health, our economic welfare, and our national security. He's asked us to rise to this moment.
This is USA Radio News. A new study is out looking at the impact of mandatory coronavirus lockdowns. Tim Berg has more details from the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau.
A new study from the European Journal of Clinical Investigation found that mandatory lockdowns around the world did not provide significantly more benefits in slowing the spread of the coronavirus than other voluntary measures such as social distancing or travel reduction. Dr. Kanta Ahmed is a pulmonologist at NYU's Langone Medical Center.
We see that people actually, when they know about the risk, modify their behavior before you crush all businesses and all activity.
That audio courtesy of Fox News from the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau. I'm Tim Berg.
And Los Angeles County has become the first county in the nation to report more than 1 million COVID cases since the beginning of the pandemic. Officials in the California county also say they've identified the more infectious UK variant of the virus as well. This is USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
So, Randall, you were about to talk to William or comment about that particular thing we're talking about. Would you go ahead, please?
Right. Well, this isn't the only sighting that you've got to talk about today. Tell us about another one of the more interesting sightings that you've had happen. And by the way, too, these have all been fairly recent, too, haven't they, William?
There are recent reports. Some of the cases are not real recent. These were talking about meteorological phenomena and potential refraction. The listing of the cases I sent you wasn't on this, but I think given the discussion we're having, it's worthy to mention. This case was in Pinetown, I'm probably not pronouncing this right, KwaZulu, Natal, South Africa. Mid-August 2020, 10:30 a.m. local time, photo taken of a strange white curved vertical streak, and the witness saw the object. I got a comment on this. The photo kind of looks like a curved, you know, there's a reflection from it. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's concave or convex. It is curved. One commenter said, he states, it looks like a sundog to me. There should be other parts to it that are not in the frame. It is a meteorological event. So the problem with that explanation is it was cloudy. You can look at the picture on my side. It was cloudy. Rain clouds were coming in. And the witness saw it. It wasn't like it was just a sudden sundog appearing. He states, about mid-August 2020, I was heading north along Route 7 highway, halfway between Citradel and Chewillan, more or less at 10:30 a.m. as I was rounding a bend. I saw what I thought was a sun reflection on my car windshield. Then as I followed the road curving to my left, the reflection wasn't in front, now on my right. A bit puzzled with the same reflection should now be on my left. It was overcast with rain clouds moving in and the sun not or scarcely visible. So I wound my window down, and it was still there, so it was not a reflection in his window. I stopped to get my camera. The object, or whatever it was, had moved, but slow. I did have to speed up a bit to catch up. It didn't seem to be in a hurry. I got ahead and pulled over to take this photo. He was outside his car. I first checked for clouds moving in, and the light was getting ahead again, so I took the shot. The photo has those curved ray-like features that I didn't see with my naked eye, not even with my glasses on. I decided I'll get ahead of whatever it was, and once more, took some more shots while going through a dip between the hills, trying to navigate and keep an eye on it. I lost sight of it. It's not likely to be a meteorological event because it was cloudy. It does have rays reflecting off it. Again, it could be a meteorological event, but he did see it. Of course, I mean, you can see sun dogs. I mean, that's reality.
I'm looking at it right now on your website. I'm not an expert like you are, but I've looked at the sky and sort of got to know my basic kind of cloud formation. This is not a sun dog. There is no way. It's too cloudy.
And yeah, it's too cloudy.
I don't think that there would be like a bright spot that you would even shine through, even if the sun was directly behind it in this case to cause that. When he said windshield reflection, that was my first impression. But then he said he rolled down his window and it was still there.
I mean, you can look at the terrain in the background. There's no shadows or anything. Even if the sun was shining through the clouds, you see some shadows on the terrain, and they're not there. This is not a sun dog. It might be some sort of meteorological event, but I don't have an explanation for it.
Maybe what we're seeing, and this is just hypothetical, right, is that instead of the sun, say, being on the other side of the cloud bank that we're looking at there, that it's actually behind the viewer and shining towards the object, and if the object is maybe something really shiny, I'm not sure what, like an airplane or a balloon or something, the sun is glinting off of it, then you might get that kind of an effect.
Yeah, it's mysterious. It could be some sort of natural phenomenon, but I don't know what.
It's pretty cool. I think it's a really good photo.
Yeah.
I like this one.
Yeah. Again, I can't with absolute certainty say it was a meteorological phenomenon. But it's an interesting case, and in the context of our discussion, about atmospheric effects, it's another case where someone saw something, not just took a photograph. If a person took the photograph, I found this in the background of the photo, and the sun was out, I'd say, it's a lens flare, or it could be a sun dog or something. But that's not the case. Those facts don't present themselves in this particular incident.
Definitely interesting. And you've got more. Let's keep going.
Well, here's a case I discussed with Kevin. And Kevin thought this was sleep paralysis. And he apparently did a study about it. And Kevin is well-versed. He's written 20-some books. But this came from Southern California about a year ago. January 2020, and the witness wanted to be anonymous. He wouldn't even give me the exact location, and given the type of report it was, it wouldn't matter, but he said a black mass hovers over the kitchen area and then disappeared. And the witness is quite obviously a good graphical artist, and he made an illustration to this, and witness states, "I will not divulge my entity nor my exact location. However, I will let you know this happened in Southern California. Here is my story. It was the middle of January 2020 when I fell asleep while watching TV. I awoke at about 2 a.m. to the sound of someone talking on TV. It wasn't very loud, and I thought that I should turn off the TV. Then I noticed something moving out of the corner of my eye. I turned to look and saw a black mass hovering over our table in the kitchen area. It was completely silent. Panic set in. I was petrified at what I saw. I could not breathe nor move. I was frozen in fear. I tried to let out a scream but couldn't. I tried and tried. Then eventually I found myself screaming. I won't say the words. Over and over again. My wife, who was asleep in the other room, ran into the living room. While she was entering the room, I saw the black mass in our kitchen shrink and then disappear completely. Kevin said this is sleep paralysis. I rebutted that. Well, he never had a sleep paralysis incident before or since. And Kevin says a lot of these sleep paralysis incidents aren't repetitive. And I didn't mention this to Kevin. When I read this report again, why would this guy get up and turn off his TV if he was in sleep paralysis. Tell me that.
People do sleepwalk. People can get maybe something like road hypnosis or sleep paralysis. You know what I mean? Like people can get into a state of mind where these things can happen, I suppose. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty rare, but I guess maybe. I mean, I don't think Kevin's, you know, saying anything outrageous that it could be that. But at the same time, I find it really interesting. I mean, she's reporting that this experience happened indoors. So this wasn't like it was hovering like out over the kitchen and the kitchen was on some kind of a, you know, a deck where it was above the house. This is like something right above their kitchen table right in front of her when it happened. Yeah. That's I find it really interesting.
It's not a UFO site, and I classify it as an X-File paranormal thing. The thing of it is if you have sleep paralysis, I mean, the word is there. It's paralysis. It means you can't move. Well, he turned the TV off, and then he looked around, and there's a mass. Then he got paralyzed. So, I mean, it could be sleep paralysis or sleepwalking, but most people sleepwalk repetitively. Now, Kevin said he did a study on UFO reports and abductions on sleep paralysis, and a lot of people only have it once. I mean, he knows much more. I don't claim to be a sleep disorder expert by any means. And one of the commenters said it was sleep paralysis, but when you turn off a TV and then you turn and you get paralyzed, I have my wonders that really he really did see it.
That's actually a pretty good point. That definitely kind of that's a really, really good point to consider, actually. Not really sure what else to say about that.
Yeah, it's open to speculation, and again, it's anecdotal because you don't have any forensic evidence. The guy obviously is a great graphics artist when you look at the report on my site.
We've got more to come with Gene and Randall and William. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, William has so much to talk about, he's going to continue this discussion on After the Paracast, which is part of the Paracast Plus. And by the way, we're still offering the free coupon codes for downloads of The Phenomenon, the James Fox UFO documentary with 3 hours of extra material for 5-year and lifetime subscriptions to the Paracast Plus. For more info, go to theparacast.plus. Randall.
Right, yeah, we were just talking about this strange object, spherical object, right, William, that materialized over this witness's kitchen table. Now, we've had cases where there's been small UFOs, little tiny ones, like almost like toy-sized ones that people have seen that we consider today to be more like drones or something like that. So, I mean, maybe it was something like that.
Actually, I've got another case quite similar in different circumstances. Newton Abbott, Devon, United Kingdom, winter of 2001 or 2002. And Newton Abbott, Devon, United Kingdom is where John Mooner was taking a lot of photos of UFOs. I've had other UFO and paranormal reports from that area. Essentially, this person says a bright ball of light glides in front of man near his face. And I'll read the report. He actually graphically made a photo of the area where he saw this man walking and annotated it. He said it was in the winter of 2001 or 2002, 5:30 a.m. I said Eastern Standard Time, that's wrong, it'd be local time. And let me reiterate his report. Years ago, I witnessed something that I really can't explain at Newton Road. It's been playing on my mind for a long time now, and that's why I've decided to come forward and write about what I saw that morning. This is really out there, and I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't witnessed it with my own eyes. It was about 5:30 a.m. I was having a smoke, waiting for a lift to work, when I began to watch a man as he walked along the pavement on the opposite side of the road. He was dressed in black and looked well-built. There was nothing odd until he stopped abruptly when he got to the small bridge that overlooks the old railroad lines. It looked as though he had seen something. This is where things got weird. As I watched the man, he turned and looked over the bridge, and then, to my surprise, a ball of white light flew up right in front of the man and stopped right in front of him. The light was incredibly bright, and the strange thing was that it did not cast any light on the man or the surrounding area, which did not make any sense. At this point, I put out my cigarette, and I moved a bit closer to the wired fence that was in front of me so I could get a better look. The light was now even closer to the man, and it was now right near his face. I watched in astonishment as the man tried to grab at the light, which caused it to move back away from him. The light seemed to glide through the air, which was really strange. The man just stood there looking at the light before it glided through the air up toward the trees where it just stopped. The man then looked away from the light and looked up and down the road until he looked back at the light. The light then glided behind the trees, and the man started running down the road, heading in the direction of, I'm not sure of the location, Kingsturden. I watched as the light faded away into the trees, and, faded away into the trees, and I stood there in astonishment. So I had trying to make sense of what I had just seen, but I couldn't. Then my friend pulled up his car to pick me up, and I got in the car and made our way to work. I said nothing this to my friend. What I just witnessed was unbelievable. So a similar report, except this is obviously in a conscious setting. The witnesses, they were both awake, presumably, walking around, going to work. But a somewhat similar setting where you've got, is it a UFO or, you know, an entity or what? But it obviously responded. I mean, it was under either intelligent or under intelligent control, whatever it was.
And there's two people that saw it, the person that he observed seeing it and himself. So it's not like, well, you know, maybe this is just, you know, a reflection off the window or something like that. I mean, this sounds very much like two people had kind of a close encounter.
Absolutely.
But you know what intrigues me is this part where he says that it was bright, but it didn't seem to cast any light on anything. I mean, how does that work exactly?
Yeah, that's interesting. He made a point of that, and I mean, you got to wonder. I mean, it's some sort of energy, but why is it not projecting any light out? That's kind of mysterious. I don't really have an explanation for that. I mean, there's an energy source. You know, I mean, like, plasmas are pretty bright, but they don't necessarily emit a lot of energy. I mean, even like ball lightning, which is superheated plasma, you know, it doesn't project a lot of light outward, but yet there's a lot of energy. You know, it could be some sort of plasma, but it's either intelligent or under intelligent control. I mean, he grabbed for it, and it moved away from him.
You know what it reminds me of is more like bioluminescence than a plasma or something really bright. Like, you know, when you get it, like one of those glow sticks, like if you get a glow stick and they're chemical and they make it usually a greenish kind of glow, unless you're in the dark, you don't really see it casting its green light on anything much. It looks bright, but it's not really bright. It's just this diffuse sort of a glow.
Another possibility too is that it might have had a lot of high energy photons, maybe more in the ultraviolet spectrum, or lower energy in the infrared spectrum, you know, not visible to the naked eye, but as you pointed out, in the dark, you'd see it. Well, if this was at night, you know, if you had a IR camera, you might see all sorts of strange things from it. Mm. I mean, my friend out on the West Coast has taken a lot of UFO videos of objects in the thermal infrared, which is a fairly high wavelength. And so, again, you know, that could be the case, too. That is, it's not, you know, reflecting or emitting any visible light photons, but that's only between...
If that's the case, then the person wouldn't see it, right? So,
I mean, well, they might see some of it. It could be some visible light, but a lot of more of the energy, higher energies than the other wavelengths, too.
Yeah. Kind of. It's an interesting case, anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving along. How about this? Okay, so there's a couple. There's this another one of these barbell UFO type of cases that you've got there.
Yeah, that was a recent one, Mesa, Arizona. Two round metallic globes connected by metal shaft. And the thing about this report is the witness was commenting on another report of a similar sighting in Woodridge, Missouri in August 2014. And this is a very, probably the most recent report I got. Of course, have slowed up recently. 9th of January, 2021, Mesa, Arizona, around 5:15 p.m. He said, it looked like the YouTube video posted on your site. I was sitting in my backyard smoking my pipe tobacco, not marijuana, watching hummingbirds feeding on my two feeders. I looked up at the sky towards the south and saw two round metallic globes, balls connected with a metallic shaft slowly moving to the east. It was slowly rotating. I looked shiny. I did not see any lights or glowing, just a reflection off a shiny metallic surface. And I lived by 23rd Street and McKellops Road, which is about 2 miles to Falcon Field Airport. Off in the distance, I could see small light aircraft taking off from the airport. I could definitely tell the difference between an aircraft and the object. The craft seemed to be very low in the sky, and as it moved, it was slowly twisting in what seemed to be defying aerodynamics. After about 30 seconds of watching it, I ran into the house to retrieve a pair of binoculars. By the time I took them out of the case and looked outside, it was completely out of sight, heading due east. It was quite remarkable to see. So I do have a video, and there's a link to that other report where you can look at the video, which is linked to on my site. And actually, I believe the video is, I don't have a video. He mentions a video, but anyhow, actually there is a video on a comment on that. And,
Right. This was January 9th,
2021. Yeah, this is very,
very recent and right in your neighborhood, Gene.
Let's talk about that in our next segment with Gene Randall and William. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.